Okay, let's begin our discussion of the Haggadah, Tavshin Ayin. Baruch Hashem, there's always new Haggadahs coming out, the new material to use, and hopefully tonight everything in this packet is, I think, new. I think one thought I might have mentioned it a different shiur, but in all the years beforehand, it's all new material. I will try to stick to the packet, but I'll try to mention here and there some thoughts from the past, just to remind ourselves, and those who haven't heard it, some thoughts that are always good to bring up again. Okay, but as we usually do it, we start with the beginning of the Seder, beginning of the Haggadah, and we go straight through. We have one thought per paragraph. So whatever one has time for, depending on, now we only have one Seder here. Those listening in Chutz La'aretz, maybe I'll have more time to say it, but one is allowed to give these Divrei Torah at the day meals, Shabbos Chol HaMoed. One is allowed to, it's not Nifsal, right, the next day, it's not Nosar. One is allowed to use them then as well. Okay, so let's start off with a thought from the Haggadah of Halakha Falibub. I think we have two thoughts from him tonight. Rav Avram Shor, the son of Rav Gedalia Shor, whose Haggadah came out this year. The Haggadah of Halakha Falibub. So he has a thought on the beginning of the Seder, the Simanim. The Simanim, Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, maybe something without a parallel the rest of the Jewish year. When else do we announce what we're about to do? This is what we're going to do tonight. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. We mentioned in the past the thought from Rabbi Sender, from the commentator Seder, who says that maybe it's like an itinerary. When you go on a trip, if you don't plan out your vacation before you go, you just wake up in the morning, you're like, okay, what should we do today? You call this place, oh, you have to book it in advance. Or you call that place, they open at 8 in the morning. You call this, you call that. It's not as efficient as if we would have planned it all in advance. The Simanim, says Rabbi Sender, is our itinerary. This is where we're going, this is where we're heading, this is where we're going to start, this is where we're going to end up. So we get so much more out of it. If we know that we're getting to a nirtza and starting off with the Kadesh. So that's the Simanim in general. But says Rav Halecha V'Halibuv, a thought on the first two, Kadesh Urchatz. Kadesh Urchatz. Again, a famous question which he does not ask, but his thought answers it. Why the Vav? None of the other Simanim have a Vav. Kadesh Urchatz, Ukarpas, Uyachatz. Kadesh Urchatz. We're so used to it because of the song. So why does Urchatz get evolved? There's obviously a connection between the Kadesh and the Urchatz. What's the connection? So he quotes from the Divrei Shalom, Sheyesh Lafarech, Rachatz Miloshon Bitachon. Again, it's Derech Drush. It's not the simple interpretation. But the Shorish Rachatz, not only, on page one now, page one on the left side, page one on the left side of the page, Rachatz not only means wash, which is the Pshutel Shel Mila, but as we say in Brich Shemei, Bei Ana Rachitz, on him I rely, on him I have bitachonin. Bei Ana Rachitz, right, we say it earlier in the paragraph also, we use that Lashon. What does that mean? Kadesh Urchatz, Kadesh, I sanctify myself, Urchatz, and I have bitachon. What does that mean? Says Rav Avram Shor, ki harbei pa'amim ha'adam osa mitzvos umaisim tovim ve'eno margish kedusha basiyasam. A lot of times we just go through the motions in life. We do it, but we don't really feel like we're accomplishing anything. We don't really feel that we're making a difference. My tefillah, my act of chesed, my mitzvah, what am I really doing? Am I having great effects in the upper worlds? What am I doing? My little mitzvah. What is it? So sometimes we just do things by rote. We don't think about it. We don't appreciate the effects of our actions. Says Rav Avram Shor, Kadesh. We are about to sanctify ourselves with many, many actions. We're going to do some mitzvahs d'oraisa, like matzah, and like Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to do some mitzvahs d'rabanan, like Dalet Kosos and Marar. We're going to do some minhagim, like karpas, like eating the egg, like many. We're going to do so many things tonight. We're going to dip our fingers in the wine by Dam Svardeya. This is maybe the night that we do the most things, the most actions out of any night of the year. So we declare at the beginning of the Seder, Kaddish, we're going to sanctify ourselves and those around us with all the actions that we're about to do in Urchatz. We have bitachon. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes those actions and makes them special and puts them in a deep, high place in Shemayim. Kadesh, we sanctify ourselves through everything we're about to do and Urchatz, that goes with the Kadesh. And we have bitachon that everything we do, the little things that we do and the big things that we do, all make a difference in our religious lives. On the left side, V'lachein ha'akdama l'olel ha'seder. That is why at the beginning of the Seder, what do? She'yilo midas ha'bitachon. We emphasize that we have bitachon, she'maisav ha'tovim, she'osim b'layla hazeh, osim roshim l'mala. The little acts that we do make a big difference above. The osim tikunim gedolim. And they make a tremendous difference in Shemayim. Related to this is a thought I mentioned about 3 months ago in a Parsha Shir, but it's worth repeating because it fits in exactly with this with Rav Avram Shor. Rav Yeruchim Lubavitz, page number 2, points out on a Rashi that we all know, Rashi at the beginning of Parsha Shmos. Rashi quotes, Shifra and Pua saved the babies in Egypt. They saved them. Paro wanted to throw them into the river, and Shifra and Pua, Baruch Hashem, saved the day. So what's Shifra, what's Pua? So Rashi quotes that really it's Yocheved and Miriam, but they're called Shifra and Pua. Why? Because Poa es Havlad. Misha Peres es Havlad. They cooed with the baby. They coddled the baby. They soothed the baby when the baby was crying. That's why they're called Shifra and Pua. In Ezra of Yeruchim, we have two of the great personalities in Tanakh. They have beautiful names. Miriam, Yocheved. Beautiful names. So why hide it? These are such amazing actions that they went ooh ooh to the baby that you call them that? Pua? Poets of land? They change the diaper. So you call them diaper changer. That's what you call them? It's Miriam and Yocheved. What's the message of Chazal? You call them Shifra and Pua. Says Rav Yeruchim. You know why? Line 6. In source number, it's on the second page now, where I have source number 4. Line 6. Hine ki yitachin, v'efshar shebedvarim ketanim, v'afilu bedvarim hachi ketan tanim kamo eile, b'shipur apiyas tinokim, shehu me'adrachim asher nashim osos tamid, v'heim bazeh zachu lihikari b'shemos. Says Rav Yeruchim, in Hebrew, but I'll say it in English. Great people take little things and make them great. Little people could take great things and make them little. If you have a great person, every little thing that person does becomes great. My father asked me to get him a drink. So I'm just getting him a drink. No, I'm doing a mitzvah zazeh d'oraisa, kibud av v'aim. I'm doing an act of chesed. This is unbelievable what this is doing. What are the 613? I take a little thing. Somebody asked me for a favor. I have a chavrusa for 10 minutes. A great person takes every little thing and makes it great. A little person could take the most amazing thing and make a little. A person could take a ne'ila. The sha'arim are closing. And it can make it nothing. Can make it nothing. That's what a little person could do. But a great person could take anything little and make it great. That's what Shifra and Pua did. Yocheved and Miriam. It was little actions. What was it? It was coddling the baby. It was holding the baby. It was saving Klal Yisrael. It was keeping the Jewish nation going for the next generation. These little actions. But you know what these little actions were? They were amazing. The Torah says, I'm going to call these women Shifra and Pua to highlight that it's the little things, even little things, if we give them significance, so they can make a great difference. That's what he said. That's where Rav Yeruchim continues. And this is what we say at the beginning of the Seder. Kadesh! We're going to sanctify ourselves right now with great things, with amazing things, with daraisas, with rabbanans, with minhagim, with everything. But you know what, Urchatz? We have bitachon, and we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take every little thing that we do tonight and make it great, because we're going to try to make it great. Kadesh, Urchatz. We continue with Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, I'm not going to talk about right now. I mentioned in the past a number of thoughts on Karpas. Yachatz. We split the matzah. I'm sorry. I did have a little thing on Karpas. I knew I had something. Page 3. Karpas. Karpas connects to this thought that we just did. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas. What do? We take a vegetable. Some take a potato. Some take a parsley. Whatever one takes. Baruch Hashem, potatoes aren't kidneys. Right? We have Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas. We take a Karpas. Since when do vegetables play such a central role in the religious experience? We have dip the apple in the honey. Trumas and maestras don't apply to vegetables, daraisa. Midrabanan, there's yirakos. Since when do vegetables play such a front and center? The first thing we do after kiddush is take a vegetable. That's the point, says the Haggadah Asaper Kvodcha, which is in the same set of the set I've used before, Elohim Oadev, Karasla Shabbos Oneg. So this is his Haggadah. Asaper Kvodcha. The Yismach Yisrael says, page 3, L'lamdeinu l'ramiz lanu, it's to hint to us, ki af misha kol hashana nimsa b'matzav shel shiflus v'anius, something that's pushed to the side, that does not have significance, the rest of the year, b'layla zeh mis'aleh l'madregos gavohos. Tonight takes on added significance. Everything is special tonight. We take a piece of parsley and make it special, front and center at the Seder, because everything is significant tonight. Yachatz. Kadish Urchatz Karpas, Yachatz. So we split the matzah. Put the larger half away for Afikomen, and we keep the middle, the smaller piece in the middle. Just Derech Agav, this is why we have three matzahs at the Seder. We have to break the matzah because we have to create lechem oni. We have to create the poor man's bread. A poor man doesn't have whole matzahs. He only has pieces. So we have the poor man's bread, but we also have a lacha called lechem mishnah. We need two whole matzahs to make a motzi on. That's why the Rishonim said we need three matzahs, right? One, two whole ones to make sure, and then we break one. According to the Rambam, according to the Vilna Gaon, if one follows the Vilna Gaon's practices, he has two matzahs, which end up being one and a half. This is the lechem mishnah of Pesach. But again, most have the custom, like the Shulchan Aruch says, to have two and a half matzahs by the time you make hamotzi. We'll talk about this more about that on Shabbos. But yachatz, so we split the matzah. What's the symbolism, though, besides just creating lechem oni? So again, in the same Haggadah, Safra Kavotcha, he quotes a mashal. He gives a mashal explaining the significance of yachatz. He quotes, again, we're going to read most of this outside to save time to try to get through it all. He quotes a mashal. Imagine you have a wholesaler in a certain town. Wholesaler is giving out products. So you have two merchants that came to the wholesaler in order to buy goods. Okay, so they go around the store, they get all their goods, they fill up their carts. Right, these big, maybe the big Costco carts. Right, you filled up, you go to the front of the line, and both of these two merchants are one behind the other one at the checkout, and the first merchant is rang up, he adds up all of his items, and he says, okay, $1,000 shekel, $1,000. So the guy says, okay, I only have 500. Can I give you 500 now? I'll give you the 500 the next time I come in. I'll give you 500 now, 500 then. Good? Wonderful. Balabai says, fine, he pays him 500. He starts, he's waiting for his friend. He passed the checkout, and his friend goes, ending up all his things, all his items, and at the end, he's like, also 1,000! Wow, it's also amazing! So the guy says, I don't really have any money now. Could I give you 1,000 next time? So he says, no. He says, what do you mean, no? You just extended my friend credit. Yeah, but it's a big difference. What's the difference? We both want credit. He says, yeah, but you didn't give me anything. But your friend gave me 500 now, so I could trust that the next time he comes back, he'll give me 500 again. Because he gave me 500 now. He already did something for me. You didn't give me anything. How do I know you're ever going to pay me? You did zero for me. So I'm sorry, I can't give you credit. Says the Asafra Kavodcha, where it's underlined. Kein hu gam hanimshal. The ikar of tonight, of the Seder, is that we have emunah shlema, that just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us once, we end up, what does Magid end? Kein Hashem Elokeinu, right, he brings us, Moadim, Rogolim, Acherim, new, right, Nomar Shira Chadash, or Shira Chadash, whatever the Girsa is. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it also highlights our emuna that there's going to be another Geula. And that's what we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we split the matzah. Half of it we keep in front of us, that's Geulas Mitzrayim. But that's the smaller piece. We put away the bigger piece. The bigger piece symbolizing, we hide it away because it didn't happen yet. It's tamun. It's hidden. The geula hasida. It's not here yet. But you know what we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You paid half. So we trust. We trust the other half is coming. We trust. We have one half now. We put the other half is not here yet. We cover it up. We hide it away. And we daven for it. But we split the matzah and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you already paid 500. You know it's even less. But we trust, we have emuna, that you will give us the other geula as well. That's yachatz. Kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz. And of course, then we start Magid. Magid, either the introduction to Magid, or the first part of Magid is halak ma'anya. Depending on your agada, sometimes it has the big bold print. Magid starts now. Sometimes some have that before halak ma'anya, or after halach ma'anya, whichever one. Either way, halach ma'anya, this is the poor man's bread, diachalo avasana ba'arad in Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. So, another new Haggadah, the first of two tonight, first of two thoughts from Rabbi Lamb. Rabbi Lamb's came out with a Haggadah this year called The Royal Table. So on page 5 and 6, we have the first of two thoughts. This is in his introduction to the Sefer. Introduction to the Sefer. We're focusing on the matzah in Halach Ma'anya. This is the matzah that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. Says Rabbi Lamb, on the top of the page, the matzah could be described as a dialectic baked into unleavened dough. It oscillates between two opposite poles. The matzah symbolizes two opposite ideas. It recalls the magnificence of the Exodus, when our ancestors were commanded to hurry to leave Egypt, before even allowing the dough to rise, and hence a token of divine redemption. Right? Matzah symbolizes, we had to rush out, we had to rush, we were redeemed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, unbelievable! And on the other hand, it also is physically a sign of poverty. It's a poor man's bread. We don't have time. We're busy working. We don't have time to stay home and let the dough rise, to let it bake. We have to run out and work. Think of the matzah, therefore, as a kind of mirror held up to us as we gather around the Seder table. The matzah, we're supposed to feel opposite feelings when we see the matzah. It's lechem oni, but it's also lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe, which Rashi says is halel. So the matzah is both Geula and Galus. We start off, and says Rabbi Lamb, this is really the entire Seder. We go through actions that on the one hand recall our Avdus, and on the other hand recall our Cheretz. The highest times we were in, and the lowest times. We acknowledge our humble beginnings as slaves, Maschil Bignus, and as well, and then recount the wonders of God who then granted us national freedom. Even maror, we eat bitter herbs to recall the bitterness of the servitude. But you know what? We take the maror and we say a bracha on the maror. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you took us from the maror. So it's such a bitter herb, but we make a bracha on it. We recount the Seder that took place on the eve of the Bar Kokhba rebellion against the Romans. A Seder attended by five of the most distinguished scholars, and yet the Seder is constructed so as to attract the attention and participation of even very young children. Everything about the Seder, it's ups, it's downs, it's ups. Turning the page for a minute. This dialectical quality that pervades the entire Seder is universal, but especially of the Jewish people whose story is full of contradictions, of vacillating fortunes, of ups and downs. It's not the generation that lived through the 20th century with its Holocaust and the founding of Medinat Yisrael prefigured by the Avdut theme so prominent in the Haggadah. There is no century in our history, arguably, where we reached so low and then we were able to come back. That's what the Seder is about. We see the matzah as a dialectic, but those are the feelings that we're supposed to have throughout the Seder. Rabbi Lamb then quotes a personal story. As a child, my parents and siblings attended the Seder presided over by my maternal grandfather. Zayda, blessed memory, was a man short in stature, but great in rabbinic scholarship and personal warmth. The first part of the Seder was most enjoyable, the chanting, the singing, the expectation of rewards, the grandchildren for reciting the four questions. The memory I most cherish, says Rabbi Lamb, was that of Zayda, who chanted certain passages of the Haggadah in the melodies of his Hasidic home before World War I. His face beamed when he had Huss, his American-born grandchildren, sing along with him. But then, when it came to the Haggadah's description of the torments of the Israelite children by the sadistic Egyptian taskmasters, Zayda's mood changed abruptly. He was totally silent as we continued to read aloud. He said nothing, but tears streamed down his face and onto his beard. I do not recall if anyone else noticed it, but I did. That's what the Seder's about. It's about crying, and it's about laughing. It's about Avdus and it's about Cheres. Halach Ma'anya! We start off Halach Ma'anya, but what do we end off Halach Ma'anya with? Lashana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael. Lashana Haba B'nei Chorin. Even in that paragraph. Zayda's change of mood was his personal illustration of the dual mode of the historic Jewish experience as represented in the Haggadah. Sadness and singing are both part of the Seder of life. The Seder of life, Rabbi Lamb calls it. And then he just adds, as only Rabbi Lamb can, in England in 1297, in the famous Magna Carta, the ancient historic charter of liberties was granted by the king. In the Constitution, who granted freedom? The people. In Judaism, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants freedom. It's not the people, it's not the king. It's capital K. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the orchestrator of history. And that's what we think about these dialectical feelings throughout the Seder, specifically Halach Ma'anya. Manishtana. Page 8. Manishtana on the left side is from the Haggadah Talalei Oros, which again I've used before. On the simple level, as we know, there are four questions, as there are many fours tonight. Four cups, four questions, four sons, other fours. But suggest the Talalei Oros, maybe these four questions are really two questions and two answers. And really, one question and one answer. How so? Al derech remez, left side. Efshe lafarish, sheshnei hacharuzim harishonim heima she'elos, v'shnei hacharuzim haachronim heima tshuvos. It's two questions and two answers. What are they? The first question. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. Why is this night? Night symbolizes galus. Why is this galus that we've been in for 2,000 years, why is it so different, mikol halelos, from all other galus that we've ever been in? The galus Bavel, the galus Yavan, all the earlier galios, why is this one so different? Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. What's the difference? Shebechol halelos anu ochlim chametz u'matzah. On all other nights we eat chametz. Sometimes we rise up a little bit. Sometimes we have some comfort. Sometimes we're on top of the world a little bit. During Bayis Sheni, that was also considered a galus. And sometimes we get matzah. But this galus, kulo matzah. Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. We're always downtrodden. We're always lowly. We're always persecuted. There is not one century since Churban HaBayis that Jews haven't been massacred. Rachmana litzlan. Not one century in 2,000 years. Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. We're all downtrodden. And number two fits in. Shabachal ha'alos on ochlim shar yirakos. Halayla hazeh marar. It's all bitter. Why is this one so bitter? Says the Talalei Oros. What's the answer? As Judaism always does, we don't look to the outside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of our enemies. But we always look within. How we could better improve ourselves. So what are the two areas we have to improve on? So what's the third question, which is really the answer? Shebechol halelos ein anu matvila nafilu pamachas halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. We're always dipping. Tonight we're dipping, dipping, dipping. What does that mean? We're dipping. We're sunk into this world. We're sunk into the gashmias. We're sunk into the world around us. We're sunk into the physical pulls of galus. We're dipping. We're dipping into everything around us. Halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. We're not focused on what we should be focused upon. That's why. First reason number one. We're too much focused on the world around us. There is a... Actually, I'm going to skip it for now to get through it. I was going to say something else. But that is number one. Halayla hazeh. We're dipping, we're dipping. We're so shaku in this world. And on the other hand, what's the last question, which is really also part of the answer? Halayla hazeh. Usually... Bein Yoshvin Bein Mesubin. Halayla hazeh kulanu Mesubin. This now, you know, we're relaxed. We don't feel that we have to work on anything. We're comfortable where we are. We're comfortable in the spiritual states that we are in. We're Mesubin. We're relaxed. We're not focused on the ruchnius that we should be focused on. Constantly yearning and striving for more. I mentioned in the past the thought we say in Aleinu, Bashamay Mimal V'Yal Ha'aretz Mitachas. But many times when it comes to Ruchnius, I think, you know, who do we look at when we want to think of what spiritual state we're in? Well, look at him. Look what I do and look what he does. I learned for 2 hours. He's learned for an hour. I come on time to davening. Look what him. He comes late. He leaves early. So we always look at people who have less than us when it comes to Ruchnius. And when it comes to Gashmius, what do? Oh, look what they have. I have this, but they have that. And I want that. And I want this. I only have two of those. They have three of those. But Gashmius, we're always looking to the people who have more than us. And should we just be at Bashamayim? Mima'a. When it comes to Ruchnius, Bashamayim, we have to look at people who have more than us. I wish I could be like him. I wish I could be like him. The Al Ha'aretz, Mitachas. Gashmius, got to look at people who have less than you. Mitachas, under you. I have so much. Look what he has. He has nothing. I have so much. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me so much. So that's the last one. We're so Mesubin. So if you think of the answer, you put it together. Why is this night so different? First of all, we're so sunk in the Gashmius. Number one, Matbilin, and also, we're not enough focus on the Ruchnius. That's the Mesubin, putting the answers together. So Manishtan, it's four questions, but maybe in a deeper sense, it's two questions and two answers, or one question and one answer. So we get to the answer. Avadim Ayinu. Avadim Ayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. We were Avadim to Paro, and the Haggadah continues. Then I'll just read you the line. V'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'yad Chazaka V'Zera Netuya. And God took us out from there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Ask the Netziv. This is the one thought that I mentioned in a different shir, but I put it here. Ask the Netziv, what's the symbolism of Yad Chazaka and Zroa Netuya? A strong hand and an outstretched arm. What are those two meant to teach us? So the Netziv doesn't ask it on the Haggadah, but he asks it in the beginning of Ve'era, which is where these phrases appear as well. There's more chairs. Come on. Okay, so what do these two symbolize? So if you look at the Netziv, the sideways on page 9, so look at the second column of the Netziv. Second column. These two phrases the Netziv is going to say is really hinting to two descriptions in the Medrash that describe Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we'll see what the connection and the explanation of those two descriptions are. Here we go. The Mechilta on Parshas B'Shalach. See, in the there are four columns in the second column. Vayosha Hashem is Yisrael Miyam Mitzrayim. Hashem saved us. Number one, Ka'adam Shehu Ochez Es HaTzipor She'imratza Miyad Hu Choncha. Number one description. You know what we were like in Egypt? We were like Paro had us in his hands like a bird. And he could have just squeezed and killed us. That's the first description of the Medrash. It's as if we were in Paro's hand, he could have squeezed us. That's the first description. Number two, second description, Uka'adam shehu shomet es ha'ubar mimeaya para. And like somebody who helps a calf come out of the bait of the mother cow. That's the two, like we came out of Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out like the cow was giving birth to the baby calf. Those are the two descriptions. So ask the Netziv, so what is that supposed to tell us? A baby coming out, we were all like a bird in Paro's hand. So what exactly is that meant to teach us? Says the Hemigdavar. The Habir, sixth line. Demilvad chosek malchus Mitzrayim ba'osozman. Hayu od shnei dvarim lemifka letachlis hayitzia. Said the Netziv, there were two kaviyachol challenges that made it difficult for God to redeem us. Obviously, it's not difficult for God to redeem us. He could have done it like that. But just to put it in our terms, there were two challenges in redeeming, in taking us out of Mitzrayim. What were they? Echad, shehayu kol Yisrael b'makam echad. Number one, all the Jews lived in Goshen. We were all in one spot. That made it very difficult for Hashem to try to take us out. You know why? Because Paro, if he ever thought for a minute about what's going on, he would have just besieged Goshen and starved us to death and cut off all supplies to Goshen. It was very easy for him. If the Jews are all scattered all over the country, it's much more difficult to get rid of them. It's easier to get them out. But we're all in one spot. So after Maka number four, so Paro should have just said, forget the Jews, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to kill them all. That's the mashal. We were like a bird in Paro's hand. He could have finished us. So what's the only way? If I'm trying to get the bird, if I'm trying to save the bird in the person's hand, what's the only way that I can save the bird and prevent the other guy from squeezing the bird? If I consistently and constantly keep whacking him, and I don't give him a second to think. Boom, boom, boom. He doesn't have a chance to think. If he has a chance to think for a second, he just say, hey, he'll squeeze the bird to death. Only if there's a constant punching and punching and punching, and don't give him a second. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. With the Makos, Maka and Maka and Maka and Maka, and no rest in between. No rest in between, nothing. That's the Yad the Zroa Netuya, the outstretched arm. Hashem's hand was consistently outstretched on Paro. Why? Because it was like the bird in his hand. And if he would have stopped for a second, so then it would have been finished. That's the first phrase and the first description in the Medrash. But then there's a second quote-unquote challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. And that is, there were a lot of Jews that didn't want to leave. As we know, 4/5 of the Jewish people, 80% of the Jewish people did not leave Egypt. Did not leave Mitzrayim. They died in Makas Choshech. So that made it challenging. If 80% of the people don't want to leave, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, time to come out. No, thanks, it's okay. That would make it hard even for the 20%. That also made it challenging. Just like a calf who's screaming, doesn't want to come out from the mother. Cow. It's nice inside. It's nice inside. It's warm. I have everything I need. I don't have to make a living. I don't have to eat my own grass. Right? I don't have to... It's wonderful inside. The baby doesn't want to come out. Got to schlep it out. Got to schlep it out in ways even if they're screaming. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to use his Yad Chazaka, his strong hand, the strong hand in order to pull us out and leave the other four fits behind, take care of the Mamachas Choshech, in order to be able to succeed in taking us out. So that's what we say in Avadam Ayinu, Hashem took us out, B'yad Chazaka, Uvizroa Netuya, with a strong hand, which parallels the second mashal of the Medrash. And Zroa Netuya, which parallels the first mashal of the Medrash, consistently knocking Paro, so he doesn't have a minute to think. Avadam Ayinu. Okay. After Avadam Ayinu, we continue with Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I didn't say something on the, I just noticed this before, on the five Zakenim. I've said something in the past, but some say it's really one big paragraph. This is Kakam, because some say it's Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was there. So some say he was, they were sitting in Bnei Brak with Rabbi Akiva. We'll talk a little bit about that next Shabbos, Bez Hashem. But that is, so one thought on Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harani Kivin Shivim Shana. I'm like, 70 years old, he was only 18 years old, as the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, and they have a machlokes. What's the content of the machlokes? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. A machlokes between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim. Is there a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim only by day or even by night? And the Chachamim Shita is that there is a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim even Lahavi Yemos HaMashiach. Last words of the paragraph, which means that during Yemos HaMashiach, there's going to be a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe on page 10. Page 10, in his, again, a new, I think it came out last year, the Gutnik Haggadah from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Why would it be that La'asin Lava, when Mashiach comes, we're still going to have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim? Isn't that going to totally outshine and out, right, put into the shadows Yitzias Mitzrayim? We're going to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes? Why? Why would there still be a mitzvah like that? Why do the sages maintain that we will mention the Exodus from Egypt after the final permanent redemption has arrived? So he quotes an idea which we mentioned a few weeks ago. Two types of Ovdei Hashem. The Rambam says this. Whose phone is that? Says the Rambam writes in Pirush Mishnayos on Pirkei Avos, there are two types of Ovdei Hashem. One type of an Eved Hashem is somebody who has a Yetzirah to do, I want to do this, and I want to do that, I want to do this. But you know what? I'm going to overcome. I'm going to be Kovish my Yetzir, and I'm going to overcome, I'm going to control myself. What the Rambam calls a Moshel B'Yitzro. Somebody who overcomes the Yetzirah. And then there's another type of person who is so conditioned to be an Eved Hashem that I don't have a time to do anything that Hashem doesn't want me to do. I am totally conditioned. I always want to do the mitzvah. I always want to do it to be the Eved Hashem. So the question is, which is greater? Somebody who has to fight and fight and fight and overcome, or somebody who's conditioned themselves to the point where there's no fight anymore. There's no challenge. No challenge. I'm perfect. I want to do what Hashem wants me to do. So they're both better in different senses, depending how you look at it. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim symbolizes the first type of Eved Hashem, a Moshel B'Yitzro. So here's it, we were Ovdei Avodah Zarah there. We didn't have it easy. God says, come out to the desert with me. Have emunah in me. Have trust in me. Who is this Hashem? We're going out to the desert. There's no food. How are we going to have food? How are we going to have drinks? How are we going to have anything? It was challenging. It wasn't a beautiful, pristine existence. It's a Moshel B'Yitzro. The future redemption after the Gula happens, there's not going to be any Yetzer anymore. We're going to all serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu easily. It's going to be easy. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, even when we're in the state of what the Rambam calls tzaddik me'ula, when it's easier, we just do the right thing because we want to, we can't forget the original battles. We can't forget the original state of Moshel B'Yitzro. on the bottom right of the page. Therefore, in the future, when we will all be saints, there will remain a need to perpetuate the warrior type of service in our daily lives so that its unique quality will not cease to be. We have to remember, sometimes we have one, sometimes we have the other. But both aspects of being an Eved Hashem, sometimes we have to conquer and fight, and sometimes it's easier. But both of them are needed and required to be a complete Eved Hashem. Okay. So, from there we go into Baruch HaMakom and the Dal of Banim. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas HaTorah Le'amo Yisrael, thanks for giving the Torah. We have a special Baruch HaTorah at the Seder. Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah speaks Keneged Arba Banim, and we go into the four sons. One of the famous questions that we've dealt with in the past is, what exactly is the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? We scream at the Rasha because he excluded himself. Moha Avoda Azos Lachem. What is this Avoda that you're doing? But the question is, the Chacham also said it. Moha Eidus Vachukim Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. So what's the difference? Someone answers that the Chacham mentions Shem Hashem and the Rasha didn't mention Shem Hashem. We spoke about that in the past. But there's another answer given by Rav Asher Weiss, the Minchas Asher on the next page, page 11. The problem with the Rasha is the word Avoda. What is this Avoda that you're doing? Being a Jew is a schus. Being a Jew is a privilege. It's not an Avoda. It's not an O. And furthermore, says Rav Asher Weiss, Moha Avoda Azos Lachem. Many around us say, you know what, I want to be a Jew inside. I feel Jewish. I feel close to God. But I have to commit to do this. Inside, I feel it. It's the feeling that counts. Ma'avot, what's this work that you're doing? What's this commitment? Ma'avot azos lachem. Says Rav Asher Weiss, that's not a commitment. And that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. He wants feelings, but that feelings that come from actions. Harasha misraim al ha'avoda, u'kolashen Yerushalmi. Ben Rasha Mahu Omer Mo Avoda Zos Lachem Ma Torah Chazesh Atem Matrichim Aleinu. Every year, there's so many things. V'chilo Dailo La'adam Yisrael Lios Yehudi Belev. I'm a Jew at heart. Le'ahov Es Hashem Alechabit Oso. Right, Mo, what's this Avoda? So we answer him, no, it's about an Avoda. We are not only Banim Atem Lashem Alekeichem, but we are also Avadim. Usually it's the opposite direction. But that's what we answer to the Rasha. Yeah, it's an Avoda to be a Jew. It's a privilege. It's a special avoda, an avoda that we love to do. But it's a commitment. Commitment has demands. It's not just about rights and privileges, but it's about commitments and demands, and just like an eved has to do for his master. And that's the difference. He doesn't just say, moha idus v'hachukim v'hamishpatim, but he says, moha avoda azos lachem, and we have to make sure we want to do the avoda, and we want to do the actions. Next. Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. Again, a new Haggadah from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Yochel Meirosh Chodesh, you might think that Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, you might think that tonight we're getting the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. You might have thought that because it's after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tamalomer Bayamahu. No, only on that day. E Bayamahu, maybe Mibod Yom, Tamalomer, no. The mitzvah of Sipur does not start Rosh Chodesh, does not start Erev Pesach, it only starts at the Seder. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, left side. Lo hitel HaKadosh Baruch Hu chova Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim van chalasa labanim ela b'shah sheyesh lufneihem hadgama muchashit. Yahadus believes in illustrations. Yahadus believe that we have to put things in front of our children. We have to have real life actions, real life illustrations in order to bring the Torah alive, to bring the Chag alive. You don't do Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim? You could talk about 2 weeks before, it's not the same. In front of you, you have the matzah, you have the maror, you have all the props, you have everything there. That's education in Yahadus. That's what we believe. have it in front of us. Act it out. Right? The Kaf HaChaim quotes the minhag in some Sephardic families. They go to the door. Someone knocks on the door. You walk around. You put the matzah on your back. You bring it alive. That's how we educate in Yadus. That's what a teacher must do, and that's what a parent must do. You have to have the show and tell. We have to have it in front of us, because that's what a child remembers, and that's what a child will take with him. Not just talking, parech ba'avir, but seeing is believing. Seeing it in front, right? These little toys. All of them, whatever can be added to the Seder, or any day of our religious experience, that is worthwhile. That's the maskana. Sibrit Yis Mitzrayim is only the night of the Seder. He gives another story related, which is some little tangential related. I'm not going to do it. We're going to go to the next page. After Yochel Meir Shchodesh, we have the paragraph, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. So we know, there's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. We have to start with the lowly state and go to the high state. Is that physical or spiritual? So we pass in like both. We do Avadah Mayinu L'Parvim Mitzrayim, which is the physical lowliness, and we also do Mitzchila Avdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, which is the spiritual experience. And what do we say? Mitzchila Avdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu V'Yachshav Kervanu Amakam Avodaso. And now Hashem has brought us close to His Avodah. Second and final thought from the Lubavitcher Rebbe for the night. What do you mean now? There's Avodah Zarah. Now we got rid of Avodah Zarah? There hasn't been Avodah Zarah in thousands of years. What do you mean? Bitchila, there's always been Avodah Zarah, V'Yachshav, and now Hashem brought us close. There hasn't been Avodah Zarah in thousands of years. Sheitel's notwithstanding. But again, what does it mean? There's Avodah Zarah today. V'Yachshav, Kerev HaMakam Avodaso. What is the Yachshav? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Idol worship, the second column, may be seem a concept that is far into our modern lives. But in truth, a mistake not dissimilar from that of the idol worshippers can easily be made in our own business. I'm on page 14. Sorry, I skipped the next page was the story that I skipped. Can easily be made in our own business activities. See where it's underlined at page 14. Men of old may have worshipped the sun and the moon, but don't we worship our jobs and our clients? Don't we make the mistake of imagining market forces as working independently from God? What is Yahari Valyavar in our life? What do we say? Can't miss. Can't miss. Can't miss this meeting. This client wants to meet me at 3 o'clock Shabbos Friday afternoon. Gotta go. No choice. What do we say in our lives? No choice. Because whatever we say that for, if there's a game that I can't miss, I can't miss. No matter what's happening in my life, I don't care about family. I have to see this game. We're over the Avodah Zarah to that team. Whatever we say that, if it's a client, if it's a meeting, whatever, if we say it about a chavrusa, so then it's over Hashem. Then it's not over Avodah Zarah. It's all up to us. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Avodah Zarah is chayv kayam b'zman hazeh. It's all, we just switched it from trees to money, from trees to cars, from trees to whatever it is what we can't give up on. I can't give up on this. Achshav kervanu, what do we say at the Seder? Hashem, let us break free from that. Achshav kervanu hamakom avodaso. Hashem, now, help us get rid of it. Help us only focus on you. Help us have no more avodah zarahs in life. That's what we daven for. Avodah zarah is here today, and we have to do our best to not have any zara, but only have avodah Hashem. The only thing that we should say in life, Yahari Valyavar, is a mitzvah, is a chavrusa, is a minyan, is something like that. Kervanu hamakom lavodasa. To buy the Haggadah just for that vart. Dayenu. Okay. So we tchila doi varzara, and we continue with the next paragraph of Baruch Shomer. Baruch Shomer, haftachas al Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem, who keeps His promise, shakadosh baruch hu, chishev hazaketz, Hashem, figured out the kates, figured out the end, exactly when we were supposed to be redeemed from Egypt, like he told Avram Avinu by Bris Ben Abasar. So a question that we're not dealing with, but many Haggadahs ask is, what, such a great thing to keep your promises? Hashem, you're unbelievable. You kept your promise. Wow. Okay, you can look in the Haggadahs for the answer to that one. But another question, asked here again by the Tal Leoros. Hashem, chishev as a kates. Hashem calculated exactly and then took us out. Ask the Tal Leoros. 1 minute. No, it's just the opposite. He didn't calculate. We were supposed to be there for 400 years. And he took us out early after 210. So it's dafka the, what do you mean? He calculated and there took us out exactly when it was supposed to be. No, it should be just the opposite. He didn't calculate. And therefore he took us out early. He didn't add up any years. Then it would have been a mistake. So again, he gives a mashal. Another mashal. But mashal la ashir, left side. La ashir shemeis v'niyah pasichida. There was a man who was a very rich man on his deathbed. He said to his only daughter, he had one only daughter, so he takes apotropis, he gets an agent, a representative. He says, here, take this money. This money is earmarked only for my daughter's wedding. That's it. The dowry for my daughter's wedding. You're not allowed to use it for anything else. That's what he said. And then the man dies. And the man dies. Okay. So girl was growing up, getting older. And then it's time for her to get married. Wonderful. And then right before she was getting into the parsha, starting to go out, Rachmana Lislan, she gets very, very sick. Very, very sick. And she has to go to a doctor. She has unbelievable medical expenses. Amazing expenses. And the mother goes to the apotropis and says, I need the money. I need the money for the doctors. I need the money for the doctors. You have to give me the money. So he says, nope. The father said, only for the wedding. Only for the wedding, not for the... She says, no, you don't understand. If you don't give me it for the doctors, there's not going to be a wedding. You got to give it to me for the doctors. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supposed to take us out 400 years after we went in. And that was the promise. But you know what? After 210, as Chazal say, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. Another second in Mitzrayim, we would not be recognizable anymore as Zera Avraham. There wouldn't have been a redemption. Forget, there wouldn't have been any more children of Avraham to take out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the Cheshbon. He did the Cheshbon because he saw that right now it has to be done. Because if it's not taken out right now, there's not going to be a Pidyon. So he did the Cheshbon. Akavur matayim v'asher shanim, ro HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shem lo yoti es bnei Yisrael misham yad, kvar lo yeth mi lahotzi. So forget the wedding, give it to the doctors. Forget the 400 years. You have to do it for the 210, because you don't give it right now for the 210, it's not going to be a 400. There's not going to be a redemption, la'asalamo. So Baruch Shomer, blesses Hashem, who kept his promise, because he was Mechashiv the case. He was Mechashiv, figured out exactly what was needed for us at that moment. Baruch Shomer. And then we get to the Hisha Amda. The Hisha Amda. So maybe over the past couple of years, the song that we've all been singing for so many years, maybe Shweki is Zochet to have his tune used at the Seder. But we always had the same tune before that. Vehi Shanda Rabbasin of Alanu. So what's the Vehi? So we know, but Derech Agav, we pick up the coast. So we always like, let's say, we see in the Haggadah, what do you do now? You cover the matzah, you uncover the matzah, what's going on? It's easy. Whenever you lift up the cup, you cover the matzah. You lift up the cup by the Hisha Amda, you cover the matzah. You lift it up by the Fichach, you cover the matzah. The rest of Magi, the matzah is uncovered. It's not nothing magical here. It's just whenever we lift up the cup, so it's like the busha issues, we cover the matzah. That's it. So by the Hisha Amda, you lift up the cup, mechaseh matzahs. Fine. So the Hisha Amda Labasein of Alanu. We mentioned in the past, what's the Vihi? The Hisha Amda. So Vihi, some say, Shishir Mishnah, Chamishakum Shetorah, Aseret Adibras and Hashem. Vihisha Amda. The Vihisha Amda, that's what's withstood us throughout time. We mentioned also the Meshach Chachma says, Vihisha Amda, we lift up the cup of wine. The wine symbolizes all the laws that Chazal made to keep us separate from the Umos HaOlam. Yayin Esech, Stam Yenam, and Bishol Akum, and Cholav Akum, and Pas. All those laws are symbolized by the wine. These laws, this wine is what has kept us around throughout the generations, keeping us separate from the Umos HaOlam. Vehi. But then there's another question that's asked by Rav Aaron Kotler, page 16. From the Haggadah Arzei HaLavanon, from the sixth of the Rashi Yeshiva, question from Rav Aaron Kotler. Asked Rav Aaron Kotler, what does it mean, Ela Shebechol Dar Vadar Omdim Aleinu L'Chal Oseinu? Every generation, there hasn't been one generation that people don't want to kill us. Okay, like I said before, every century. But haven't there been a couple of years of a respite? A little bit every single generation? There are some generations that it was somewhat relaxed. So every generation? So says Rav Aaron Kotler, you have to look at the next paragraph to understand it. What's the next paragraph? Seyu Lamad. Mabikish Lavan Harami Lasos Yaakov Avinu. Lavan, know what Lavan did to Yaakov, which we'll talk about soon. Potter only wanted to get rid of the boys, and Lavan wanted to get rid of everything. Excuse me, which we'll talk about in a minute. During the years with Lavan, was it so bad? Yaakov had 11 kids. He had a good paying job. Okay, Lavan tricked him here and there. But he was working. He had tons of kids. He had two or four great wives. Was it so bad in the times of Lavan? The answer is yes. Because deep down, Lavan wished he could get rid of Yaakov so badly. So learn from Lavan. Just like by Lavan, it looked okay. But deep down, it wasn't. So too, in every generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might protect us. But in every generation, though it might look calm on the outside, just like in the door of Lavan, Om Dimalina Lachaloseinu. Every generation, says Rav Aaron, in the on the bottom, Ubacholzos Hein Motzim Anush HaKazim Eid Arami Ovid Avi, Umikan Yishlonu Limo Binyanav, Shebechol Dor Vador, Afim Atkufa Nidbeis Kishketo Poria, Hare Zem Yishim Shekadosh Baruch Hu Maslinim Yadav. It's only because Hashem's protecting us. It's only because Hashem's protecting us, not because it's not true. I mentioned a couple of months ago also, just thought of it in the Parsha Shir, the story that there was a priest that once came to Rav Chaim Yivalazhin and asked him, he says, I have a kasha on your Bible. I have a kasha. What's the kasha? So he says, it says in Tehillim, right, many of them know Tehillim better than us, it says in Tehillim, Hallelujah, Hashem kol goyim shabachu kol ha'umim, all nations are going to praise you. Hallelujah, Hashem kol goyim shabachu kol, why? Ki gavar aleinu chasto, because there's chesed on the Jews, because there's chesed on us, says the priest Rav Chaim Yivalazhin. That's crazy. We're going to praise Hashem because He has chesed on you? That's never going to happen. Why are we going to praise God? Haluas Hashem kol gayim ki gavar aleinu chasto? Says Rechaim Yivalazhin, it's simple. We don't know most of the things that you're planning for us. Only you know exactly what you have planned for us. La'as ilava, when everything becomes clear, and we realize, and everything becomes emistic, what Hashem does for us, you're going to praise because you know even more than us what you're planning, and what you're trying to do, and all the strategies, Rechman al-Atslan. So that's why. That's the chol dar v'dor omdim aleinu l'chalaseinu. It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us. So Tzei Elamad, let's talk about Lavan for a minute. Where exactly, or when, was Lavan so bad? He was worse than Paro. It says Paro wanted to get rid of the Zecharim. But Lavan, bikesh lakar es hakol. Where do we find that Lavan wanted to get rid of Kol, get rid of everything? Where do he want to get rid of everything? So Rav Warman, Rosh Hashiva of Henk, and Oros HaPesach, beautiful Sefer on Pesach, three answers. Where do we find that Lavan wanted to get rid of everything? Number one, answer he quotes from Rav Zevin, Ma'adim Lahalacha. There's a Gemara in Meseches Gittin. The Gemara tells us on line four in Meseches Gittin, let's say there's a man that tells his friend, go please and marry me a woman. Right? You're allowed to do kiddushin through a shliach. I can marry a woman, I can give a woman a ring, or I could tell Reuben, can you go find me a wife? I could tell him, go find me Rachel, go find me a specific wife. But what happens if Reuben tells his shliach, go marry, find a woman for me and get married for me? And what happens? Lo and behold, the word gets back. The shliach died. Shliach died on the somewhere along the lines. You know what that halacha is? The mishaleach, the sender, is usher to marry every woman in the world. Why? Because any woman might be the sister of the person of the woman that was married to him. Achosisha is usher to me. So every woman in the world is usher. If I tell the shliach to go marry a specific woman, fine. But if I go tell the shliach, go find me a wife that I can't marry anybody because it might be the sister of the one that the shliach married. What if she has no sisters? What if she has this? The Rishonim deal with that. Low plug. But anyway, that's the halacha. So what does the Medr say? By Lavan. Lavan ben Besuel. Besuel originally was part of the story. And then he disappears. What happened to Besuel? So the Medr says that Besuel and Lavan put two cups of wine when Eliezer came to find the wife, one in front of Eliezer with poison, and one in front of Besuel. They were going to have a lachayim. The Malach Gavriel came and did a switcheroo. And therefore, Besuel drank the poison and he died. That's why he's not on the scene anymore. And Eliezer is wonderful and fine. But what was the plan? Lavan wanted to kill Eliezer. If Eliezer would have died, Yitzchak would be usher to marry everybody in the world. That would be the end of Klal Yisrael. Bikesh Lavan lakar es hakol. Laban wanted to get rid of everything, get rid of the Jews, because if he would have poisoned Eliezer, the Shliach, then Yitzchak wouldn't be able to marry anybody, and that would be the end of the Jewish people. Answer number one. Answer number two, a short answer at the bottom right. He quotes Rav Yonasan ben Uziel, one of these types of thoughts, that Laban was really Bilam. Did he live long? Was it a Gilgal? Exactly know what that means, but it was the same person. So Bilam wanted to get rid of everybody, get rid of the Jewish people, so too Laban. Okay, if you say Laban is Bilam, that's the second answer. And finally, the third answer, the bottom left now, he quotes from the Imre Emes, one of the Gera Rebbe's. Kikasher Lavan Amar, when Lavan runs after Yaakov and catches up, and Lavan says, come on, Yaakov, what are you rushing out for? Habanos binosai v'abanim banai. Your kids are my kids. Your children are my children. Lavan, in that statement, was trying to blur the lines between Am Yisrael and the other nations. My children are your children. My sons are your sons. That would be it. Bnei Yisrael, like we just said from the Meshech Chachma, we wouldn't be able to survive without blurred lines. The assimilation, forget it. That's what Lavan wanted. To show that they're both equal. And this is Chashiva Akiras HaKol. Blurring the lines, losing our Jewish identity, that would be it. Third pshat, where do we see Bikesh Lavan Lakaras HaKol? Okay. Then we get to part of the Haggadah, which many times in many houses, the speed is picked up on. Not as famous after the Hisha Amda. Oh, it's just Psukim. Okay, Amiyad Dayenu. Okay, that's what we usually say. Even though this is a crucial part of the Haggadah. We're darshaning the Psukim. This is Tzipri's Mitzrayim. We quote a Pasuk and then we quote the Medrash. And we quote a Pasuk and we quote the Medrash. So we should at least stay a little bit on the Psukim and the Midrashim. So every year we talk about one or two of the Psukim. So on one of the Psukim. Vayareyu Osanu HaMitzrim. Vayareyu Osanu HaMitzrim. So again, Halekha V'Halibuv. This was going to be the second and final one, but then after I made this packet, I saw another one, which I have to tell you, which will be at the end of the Shir, Bez Hashem. So, but it's not in the packet, so I'm allowed to use it in future years, and it's not called repeating. So, but again, this is for this year. This is the official one. Page 18. Halakha v'alibu, vayareyu osanu amitzrim. What does it mean, vayareyu osanu? They were evil to us. What does that mean, vayareyu osanu hamitzrim? So he quotes from his father, Rav Gedal Yeshur. Quotes from his father. Sha'amar b'shas ha-seder b'shem ha-svarim. Sha'kavana hi sha'asu osanu la'anashim ra'im. V'amru aleinu sheyish lanu machshav osros la'asos dvarim ra'im. What does it mean, vayareyu? He was evil to us? There's a deeper meaning, says Rav Gedal Yeshur. He made us think evil of ourselves. Vayareyu osanu, he made us ra. He made us lose our self-worth. He made us lose our self-confidence like we have anything to accomplish. The second that I don't feel like I have something important to do, that I have something to accomplish, well, who am I? I'm a nothing. Then I'm not going to try to get out of Egypt. I'm not going to try to be an Am. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. He made us think ra in ourselves. That's what they did to try to get rid of this identity of Am Yisrael, of the Shvatim. He made us think ra of ourselves. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. Lachin ratza lahakas ben yeyush. Sheyachash v'la atzman sheyim anashim ra'im. We're nothing. What are we? We're nothing anyway. Vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. Okay. Just one thought on the depths of that pasuk. So we continue after the psukim. We get to the makas. Oh, I'm sorry. We meet at the makas, not at the dayenim. Okay. The makas. Dan svardei akinim arov. So you can review some of the parsha shirim. Va'era and Bo, we had some thoughts related to this as well. But one thought, second one from Rabbi Lamb. Page 19 and 20. Rabbi Lamb notes by the Makkah of Barad, the Makkah of Hail, that the Torah says by Barad that there were some Egyptians that were ready to listen to God at that time. What does the Torah say? Hayareyes Dvar Hashem, those Egyptians who feared God brought their animals inside. V'asher lo shas libo gamlazos, but those who didn't put their hearts to it, they left their animals outside, which itself is a musr shmuz. After a bunch of makas, it's not going to happen. Moshe said it's going to happen. Okay. Answer by lamb. What's the opposite of a Yirei Hashem? Hayorei is Dvar Hashem. Those who fear God brought their animals inside. What should the opposite be? Those who hate God. Those who hate God. If you fear God, or you hate God. That's the opposite. What does the Torah say, though? Those who fear God, v'loshas libo. Those who just don't care. Those who just don't care. The opposite of a Yirei Shamayim, Yirei of a fear of God, says Rabbi Lamb, is somebody who is just apathetic to his religion. Somebody who just goes through, forget, no feeling, rote. That's the opposite of a Yirei Hashem. Says Rabbi Lamb on page 20. What the Bible means to tell us by the choice of words is that indifference, not putting your heart to it or into it, is the carnal sin of mankind. Our generation's greatest religious defect is an abysmal indifference and horrendous apathy to religion, to morals, to ethics, to Torah. I told my Talmidim this last week. It's like, Rebbe, this is harif. I said, what's so harif? You have to have feeling when you do mitzvahs. Like, how could I say this on my Seder? I said, it's such a harif idea to have feeling when you do mitzvahs. Such a crazy idea. I said, Rabbi Lamb talking. You can't, he says, that's the greatest problem. We do not pay attention to God's word. We don't put our heart into our service. Not anger at God. Not rebellion against Torah. Not resentment at religion. These are not the sins of our generation. Ours is greater, subtler, and deeper. We do not absent ourselves from the synagogue because we are actively atheistic. It is just apathy. The antonym of reverence and awe is not putting your heart into synagogue and Torah. The opposite of a Yirei Hashem is lo shas libo gam lazos. And our job is to do things with feeling. And to pshas libenu, to put it there. I mentioned in the past, the thought of the Bali Musar, the halach in Shulchan Aruch has brought down that when you bench, you should cover the knife. The knife should be covered or taken off the table. Question, we have to do it on Shabbos or not, but in Shulchan Aruch, at least on a weekday, you have to cover the knife when you bench. Question is why? So there are two reasons given in the Beis Yosef. Mr. Brewer quotes them as well. One reason is because a knife symbolizes shortening life. A table where we're benching on is like the Mizbeach, which gives kapara to lengthen life. And you shouldn't have the knife open on the table. Okay, that's one reason given. But then there's a second reason given, Rabbeinu Simcha. That there was one time in history, somebody was benching, and he got very upset when he said, Uvnei Yerushalayim, that we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, so he took the knife and he stabbed himself. That's what the Beis Yosef says. And because of that, we cover the knife. Ask the Bali Musar. Because there was one crazy guy in history that took the knife and stabbed himself forevermore, we have to cover the knife of benching. So he says, no, the message is that we have to remember that one time in history, there was somebody who was so passionate about his Yadus. There was somebody who felt so deeply about the Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted it so much. That's what we remember by covering the knife. There was somebody with such feeling. That's what we do. Says Rabbi Lamb, the opposite of Yirei Shamayim is somebody who's just apathetic. Somebody just doesn't care. And that's what we have to do. We have to be feeling-filled. That's the most important. Putting visual aids, that's the word I was looking for before, by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, to have visual aids in front of us, by Bavur Zeh. But that brings feeling. That brings feeling. Below Shasli, that's worth it to buy this Haggadah right there for that part. Right? Below Yirei Savar Hashem versus below Shasli Bogamazos. That's Barad. Okay. Coming to Dayenu. Okay, a couple of more. Bli Neder will be finished by 10. One of the more famous questions in Dayenu. Ilu kervanu lefnei har Sinai v'lo nasan lanu es haTorah. If we would have come to har Sinai and not gotten the Torah, Hashem, that would have been enough. Really? Coming to har Sinai and not getting the Torah, that would have been enough. Why would that have been enough? So some say it was the Achdus, Vayichan Shem Yisrael, Neged Ahar, would have been together. So in the Haggadah Talmud Biyado, which I used a few times last year, he quotes a thought from Rav Yashiv. What does it mean? Ba'is Matan Torah on the right side. Zacha Am Yisrael, Lo Rak LeKabbalas HaTorah, Elagam LeKabbalas HaKoach, LaHachriya BaKirtzonam. When we got the Torah, we didn't just get the Torah to learn, but we received the power to paskin, to make decisions, to decide our life based on the Torah. the koach of the Rabbanan to set laws, to set the calendar, HaChodesh HaZelachem, that was also given in the Torah. So we know the famous story in Bamitzia, Daf Nun Tes, where Belazar is having a machlokas with the Chachamim about a halach in Tum and Tara, and Belazar says, if I'm right, the tree should prove me right, and the tree gets uprooted. If I'm right, the water should prove me right, and the water starts flowing upstream. And the other Rabbanan say, don't bring me rice from water, don't bring me rice from the tree, the walls of the Mishpatra start caving in, and finally he says, if I'm right, the heavens should show that I'm right. And Abasco goes out and says, halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Yeshua stands up and says, lo bashamayim hi. We don't paskin based on Abasco. Says Rabbi Yashiv, you know what? That heavenly voice was a test to see if Chazal would stay strong in their decision to what they paskined. Hashem says, I gave you the Torah. You paskin based on your seichel. Well, you decide. If you decide asur, it's asur. Doesn't matter heavenly voices. Doesn't matter if there's a malach that tells you something. You don't paskin based on Eliyahu Navi. You don't paskin based on a malach. Eliyahu might be separate because he might still be alive. You don't paskin based on a malach. Says Rav Yashiv, that's what we received when we got the Torah. The power to decide when Pesach is and when Yom Kippur is. And to decide all of those halachas. That's the Pshat in Dayenu. If we would have come to Har Sinai and Hashem would have showed us the Torah, this is what you're going to learn, but I'm going to keep it to make the decisions. I'm going to keep it to Paskin. That would have been enough for us. We would have loved it anyway. Kal v'chomer. We not only received the Torah to learn, but we received the Torah to make decisions and run our life. Dayenu. That extra special gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Dayenu. That's what we recognize in that thought. Okay, so after Dayenu, we get into a crucial part of the Haggadah, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, and this one we announce, if anybody's been in the kitchen, please make sure to say this, because it says, if you don't say this, well, Yassi Dechavaso. So, you have to say it. You have to say a lot of the Haggadah. You could skip Dayenu, but you have to say this. All right, so, Matzah, Pesach Matzah, and Maror. So one thought on Matzah versus Maror, a halachic thought from Rabbi Nevinzal in his Haggadah. On page 22. Rabbi Nevinzal notes the halacha, based on the Gemara, that if somebody stuffs matzah down my throat, and I don't taste it at all, just stuffs it down my throat, I'm yotze. I ate it. That's matzah. By maror, it's not like that. By maror, we say, if somebody stuffs maror into my mouth and I don't taste it, then I'm not yotze. Why? Because maror is about the tasting. Maror means bitter. The romaine lettuce, it's a little bitter. Right? Maror is about to say, if you don't taste the maror, then you're not yotze. That's the ikker part of the maror. Matzah, says Rav Nevinzal, is not so much tasting the matzah. It's more about not eating chametz. That's what we do by maror. Yes, it's the poor man's bread. But the ikker of maror is the eating of the maror. You got to taste the maror. The ikker of matzah is not so much eating the matzah, but not eating bread, not eating chametz. Matzah and maror. And that's the basis, says Rav Nevinzal beautifully, for the shita of the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon has a well-known shita in Hilchas Pesach, that even though there is an obligation to eat matzah only the first night of Pesach, but there is a kiyum d'oraisa throughout the yontif. If I eat matzah on Chol HaMoed, says the Gra, I'm mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa of achilas matzah. Any matzah, mitzvah kiyumis. Just like a woman who shakes a lulav. She doesn't have to shake a lulav. If she shakes a lulav, she gets a mitzvah. So too says the Gra. If I eat matzah in the middle of Pesach, I get a mitzvah d'oraisa. So where does that come from? What's the source of that? Says Rav Nevinzal, it comes from this idea. Because maror is about the act of maror tasting the bitterness. Matzah is all about just not eating chametz. The isser of chametz applies the whole week. If the isser of chametz applies the whole week, then the mitzvah of matzah applies the whole week. Because the mitzvah of it's not obligatory. But at least in terms of kiyum, says Rav Nevinzal, if matzah is the anti-chametz, so then matzah has to apply as long as chametz applies. So that's matzah and maror. As we know, we point to the matzah, we point to the maror. We don't point to the Pesach because we don't have the actual, and we don't want it to appear like we're being makdish something b'chutz. Okay, that's matzah and that's maror. Three more thoughts. So we have the meal. Remember, the meal is surrounded by Hallel. We have Hallel before the meal and Hallel after the meal. That should just emphasize to us what we should be talking about during the meal. We're in the middle of Hallel. We should be relaxed. It's a Suda, but it's Suda's Yantif. We can relax. But, you know, there are certain topics maybe that shouldn't be spoken about in the middle of Hallel. You know, just schmoozing is one thing, but at least it should be neutral and parav, and not anything else. And then after that, we get into the third coast, and that is the coast of Birchas Hamazon. The coast of Birchas Hamazon, and we have on that Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus in the Teferet Shimshon, in his Haggadah on page 23, he says, you know what the biggest problem is when we bench? We don't have time. We don't have time. Haba'aya shelanu hi she'ein lanu zman. We don't even have time when we eat. So what do? We eat something. We burn ourselves half the time when we eat it because we only have 5 minutes to eat. We eat. If that's how we eat, that's how we bench. We don't have time. Nitan leros b'yameinu adam ra'ev ha'ochal marak cham v'agaron shalom mamash mechveh. He mamish is stuffing hot soup down his throat. Ha'achila etzlohi begadet bikuach nefesh. Ein lanu zman la'tzor this. I'm sorry, I can't stop. I got to get back to work. We don't have any time in our lives, says Rav Pinkus. Ein lanu afilu zman levorech mila b'mila. Anu bol'im et hamilim. Right, we swallow the words. We swallow the words. Only our kids in kindergarten who aren't rushing anywhere, they say the words very slowly and nicely. Right in their famous book, Everything I Need to Know in Life, I Learned in Kindergarten. Right? So that's it. Omrim b'mihirut nuschos kitzaros u'moshitim es'ochel yashar l'peh. I give myself, says Rav Pinkus, enough time to say the bracha as long as it takes to go from my plate to my mouth. That's as much time as I give myself to say a bracha. So hopefully it's not too long. V'akach sholim, lomani lo mev, lo mevin. Lomani lo mev v'shocheach. Lomani lo zocha l'chavim mitzvila. We don't focus and give time to anything and then we wonder why things are, I'm not spiritually uplifted. Because we don't spend time on it. We don't spend time on this. Says Rav Pinkus, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. We have to take it easy. Especially, at least for the bracha. We have to relax and think, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? Barech! Barech is one of the simanim. Berachas Hamazon is the only bracha d'oraisa that we have. Alav lahakdish ksas machshava, ksas chachma, b'she'elo lama ani ochel. Why am I eating? What am I eating? What do I do after I eat? Emunigash lechel v'choshiv rakan ira'ev. It's only about, I'm starving. That's very animalistic. That's the animal side of a human. I'm eating to serve Hashem, to keep strong. So that's a very different type of eating. Every one of a part of our eating should be in the context of a mitzvah. V'yachalta v'savata uveirachta. Okay. After that, we go to the post-meal part of the Seder, starting with Koshel Eliyahu. Koshel Eliyahu and Shvoch Hamascha. Remember, I'm not going to repeat it, but remember the thought from Rav Warman on Shvoch Hamascha. I'm not going to repeat it now, but it was unbelievable. But just one thought on Koshel Eliyahu. Why do we call it Koshel Eliyahu? Why does it, okay, we all know, but we want Mashiach. But why after the Koshel, we should daven Mashiach, Lashon Haba. What does he have to do with this cup of wine? Okay, so we shake the table a little bit, so he drinks a little. So, says the Vilna Gaon, very simple. Says the Gron, Haggadah Gdol Yisrael, page 25. Says the Vilna Gaon, there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether we're supposed to have four kosos or five kosos at the Seder. It's machlokas. Kos chamishi. It's unclear whether we're supposed to have four or five. Says the Gra, so we have four, because we have at least have that four, and the fifth one, you know, we don't know what to do yet. You know what? So we pour it on the table, and we say, Eliyahu Navi, we need you to tell us what the halacha is. Kos shel Eliyahu. We wait for Eliyahu Navi to come. Tishvi Yataritz, Kushis Vabayas. Yehei Munach, Ache Yavo Eliyahu. It'll be munach on the table. Be munach on the table. Right? So it doesn't have, we don't have to say Eliyahu Navi's here. He munach. We wait for Eliyahu Navi to tell us what the answer is. And that's why we call it the Koshel Eliyahu. One final thought from the Lekach V'Halibut on Echad Miyodeya. So again, I know that many people, if they open their mouth by Echad Miyodeya, if they're not singing, they will be asked to sing. And nobody's really interested in Divrei Torah at that time of night, so this is something that one could say during the day meal, or if somebody is at a Seder where everybody's on such a ruchnius deca level, they can say it then too. But it's from the Halakha V'Halibuf. I believe it says, what's the point of Echad Miyodeya? One is Hashem, Echad Miyodeya, Shtayim Miyodeya. He quotes this from his father, again, Rav Gedalia Shor. Right on the back. I didn't give you page 26. So, odd number. So it says, says Rav Gedalia Shor. We know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, Rashi quotes it, that why is there blue on the tzitzis, treles, because treles is domel yam, yam is domel rakia, rakia is domel kisi akavid. If I look at the blue, I'm going to think ruchnius. I'm going to think HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be unbelievable if I see this blue color. Answer of Gedai Yishor, that's one Gemara, but there's another Gemara. Another Gemara that says that a man should not look at begadim tzivonim of an isha. A man shouldn't look at the colored garments of a woman, even if it's not on a woman, because it's going to lead to improper thoughts. A man shouldn't look at the colored garments. Color could even mean blue. So what's the difference? Is looking at blue going to bring me to the Kisei HaKavod, or is looking at blue going to bring me to hear Hurim Raim? Says Rav Gedai Yishor, it's simple. It all depends what I'm involved in life. If I'm involved in spiritual things all my life, if I'm involved in Ruchnius, in Chesed, in Mitzvos, then whatever I see, I'm going to relate to something Ruchani. If I'm involved in Gashmius, in other things, in other mundane matters my entire life, negative things, that's what I'm going to think about. A Talmud came back to Rav Shlomo Zalman after a trip to Chutz Laaretz, and Rav Shlomo Zalman asked him, said, "Oh, did you see the skyscrapers?" I was like, "What? Did you see the skyscrapers?" The Talmud's like, "Yeah." Rav Shlomo Zalman says, "Did you see the skyscrapers? Do you know that if you have a skyscraper and you have a baby born on the third floor and a baby born on the 130th floor at the same exact moment and they're born 2 minutes before Shkia, it could be that one of them will have their bris one day and one of them will have a bris on the next day? Did you see the skyscrapers?" Asked Rav Shlomo Zalman. When Rav Shlomo Zalman saw skyscrapers, he thought of Hilchas Bris Mila. If somebody is totally involved in Ruchnius, and when they see anything, they think Ruchnius. So if you see whatever color you see, if I see tcheles, if I'm shaku in something, I'll think kriyas HaKavod. If not, not. By the end of the seder, we should be on a level chayav adam liras as atzmo, and we've been through everything, and we got to pass nirtza. We should be on the level, just like he said, when the kids play the game. I say one word, you say whatever word comes to mind. Whatever word I say, just tell me that whatever you come. We should be on the level 6 mishnah, 10 says nivras. Whatever number we hear, it should conjure up in us ruchnius. That's Echad Miyodeya. Because every single number, whatever we hear, it's like Tcheles, Domo L'Kisei HaKavod. That's the goal of the Seder, to reach that level. And that's the goal of our lives, to reach that level, to see everything with the Ruchani glasses. So, Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zochet, to Achak Kasher V'Sameach, and to be able to inspire ourselves and inspire others with the Divrei Torah at the Seder. Okay, well, Dav Meir, those...